Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be with us. Any day in God's Word's good day. God's Word is so vast. Don't think you can read it through one time and you got it. You don't even have an idea of even what is even possibly in here. Read it over 100 times in its entirety and hundreds of times in different places. And every time I pick it up, something new presents itself to me, just like God said it would. You earnestly read my book, you will understand the mysteries written therein. God says it does my heart good for kings to search out the mysteries in my book. If you've been with us from episode 1, Genesis, or the beginning of the Bible, actually in Jeremiah, catch episode 1, you'll find out all about that. Not the first time the world's been here. Right here in black and white. Lots of things happened in the garden. There were two accounts of creation. You know, religion always says, the account of creation on the sixth day when God created man, male and female, created he them, two beings. And then when it goes over and after the seventh day and it tells how God created Adam, they say, that was just a rehash of what they did before. But no, you have to look at all the wording. God told those first two to replenish the earth. Put back the people because he'd already flooded the place. When Adam came along, God needed a priest for his temple, which was the Garden of Eden. Jeremiah says the temple had become a wilderness, the beautiful place. God needed a priest. The Adamic line was never meant to procreate. The other ones were putting the people back. And when Adam and Eve fell, there was a lot of things that went on. It wasn't just an apple. There were two children in the womb with two different fathers right there in black and white. Catch episode 1 before you come and burn down the station, okay? Wouldn't tell it to you if I couldn't back it up. Religion didn't want you to know that. If you read this in this Bible in its totality, science and the Bible mesh together perfectly. Yes, this earth is millions of years old. And yes, the Adamic line has only been here maybe 9,000 years. Those are facts. But you have to understand that the earth was here once before. This earth was used once before by God, and there was a civilization here, a vast civilization. There are artifacts thousands of years old that are exact models of aircraft. This Bible explains all of that when you look at it properly. You know, I'm going to wrap it up and get on into the book of Samuel. The thing is, God gave the first covenant to Abraham. He said, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. It was that easy. Everything is legal for you, Abraham. If you follow me with all your heart, then you will know what's good for you. God says, I place the spirit of man inside the heart so that he could gain control of the mind, because the mind, the Bible says, is contrary to the will of God. And the flesh is an abomination. It's up to the spirit man to subjugate the mind and get this flesh on a straight and narrow path. But the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they could not follow the first covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. So just like a good father does, he says to his children, okay, you don't want to do it the easy way, we're going to do it the hard way. And he piled the law on them. And the aspects of the law grew and grew and grew. Ten Commandments was not the first covenant. It was the covenant given to the children of Israel when they left Egypt because they refused to obey God, refused to follow God with all their heart. You know, there's three aspects of the law. There's the moral aspect of the law, is the Ten Commandments. Then you get into the ceremonial processes of the law. Then you get into the ritual processes of the law. And it grew and grew and grew to where you could You could be sinful by accident. You could be sinful and not even know it. You know, a carnal bondage. God asked for a spiritual experience with you. Follow me with all your heart. Couldn't do that, so we're going to put you in carnal bondage. That's what the law is. And you must do things with your hands to try to make yourselves clean again. Well, Christ came back and he set it straight. He put it back the way it was. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Follow me with all your heart is a spiritual thing. The baptism is a worldly, outwardly appearance that you can show your neighbors. Post it on YouTube. Oh, Billy Bob got baptized today. He must believe in Jesus now. Yes, that's all. And God forbid you try to hold on to the law, Christian, after accepting Christ. Because what you're telling him is what he done was just not enough. I got to hold on to this law. So, there are two bloodlines in the garden. Two babies in the womb, two fathers, two bloodlines. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. And we battle that today. And we're all mixed because when the children came into Canaan, God, Moses, Joshua had told them all, remove all these people. Not because these are, God just hates these people for no reason. These people had covenants with God early on. And they transgressed to the point where God moved them out. But these people all were of the seed of the serpent. Or a mixture of the seed of the serpent. He didn't want his Adamic line to mix. He told them, if you mix with these people, you'll be cursed. If you put them all out, you'll have blessings for generations. Well, they disobeyed God again. Because of that, we're all mixed. All of us. We all have the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman in us. And it's a battle. It's a struggle. It's a test. Can you overcome that which is within you? Can you prove yourself worthy? And God doesn't demand much. Just the heart that is willing to try. So, children went into the land. They disobeyed God. They left the inhabitants. And the land fell into chaos. And we've come through the kings. We've come through Ruth. And we're into Samuel now. And the children of Israel will see their first king. God never wanted them to have a king. He wanted to be there with them and be their king. We all know how that went if you catch the past episodes on WBFFradio.com. Go on there and catch up with us. We're in the book of Samuel, chapter 1. Now there was a certain man, Remen of Ramathaim Zophim. Oh, the most terrifying things in this book are the names of some of the cities, some of the people. Ramathaim Zophim. I'm going with that, Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, until it changes.
Yeah. Or we can call it Chicago to be easy, but we'll go with Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerohim, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. That's a beautiful name. I always like that.
Me too.
The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. Oh, Phinehas.
Yeah.
And old Eli, you know what? You'll see it later here, but Eli's big old fat man. I'm sorry. Your preacher waddles up to the podium at 300 pounds. He has issues in his life. He does not know how to subjugate this flesh and keep it under control. So, enough said about that.
Denial is very important.
Yeah,
of the flesh.
Denial. Yeah. Not just a river.
Right.
Yeah. And the priests of the Lord were there. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, a bigger portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore. And the other wife didn't like her very much because the husband loved her more. How many times do we see that same scenario in this book? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all for multiple wives, but apparently one always gets loved more.
Abraham, yeah, go ahead and take the maiden. Yeah. Why did you do that, you jerk? whoa. Sorry.
Jacob especially, you know. He had one that was an outstanding woman. And one that he just loved. For to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb, making fun of her all the time. Oh, Hannah. Childless Hannah. Mm-hmm. And as he did so year by year. So this was a good man. He went up yearly, sacrificed for the Lord. There weren't many good men left in Israel. We discussed that in past episodes. The masculine line had lost its way. They weren't the leaders anymore. They weren't teaching their children about God. They were just living, and what the book of Judges ends with is there was no king in the land, and every man done what was right in his own sight. And that translates to there was no moral code in the land. There was no morality in the land because the king is the one that sets morality. As he did year by year, so when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Do I not love you dearly? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So she's sitting over near the temple, bawling her eyes out. And old fat Eli is sitting over there looking at her. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on my affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. Making a vow to God, if you give me a child, I will make him a Nazarite.
I was about to say, she's dedicated him as a Nazarite.
Mm-hmm. And he will serve you. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. He's over there looking at her. He thinks she's drunk. Yeah. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee, woman.
David ought to find out.
Yeah, I mean, she's already distraught. Now the priest comes over and says, you old drunk?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Yeah. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Mm-hmm. They have daughters of Belial too.
So it's D-O-B and S-O-B's.
Yes. We learned what the true S-O-B was. The original S-O-B was the son of a Belial.
Yeah.
Son of a worthless individual is how it translates. A lot of terms come from this Bible that you don't realize. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. I'm pouring out my soul to God. I'm not drunk. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So Eli says, go, and God's going to give you what you want. God is starting another mission here. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She apparently believed. Mm-hmm. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. So she is going to fulfill her vow, which if you vow a vow to God, you better keep it. You want the rod to come down hard on your back, go ahead and promise God something and don't keep it. Now Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth good, thee good, tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. It had to be so hard for her. But she was so grateful to God that she kept her vow. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, probably 4 or 5 years old. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. So she takes the child to Eli in Shiloh, says, The Lord gave me what I wanted, and I promised I would give the child back to him. So here you go. Raise him well. Chapter 2, Book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. WVFF 97.7, God's Amazing Roadmap to Eternity. Don't go home without reading it through. He's going to ask you, Did you read my book? He's already going to know the answer. Chapter 2, And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. This man had a good family, Elkanah. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that are full have hired out themselves for bread. They that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. You know, this is worship. She's worshiping God. Mm-hmm. Saying, Oh, how mighty you are, all these things that you do. Mm-hmm. The Lord maketh poor and the Lord maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. But the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces out of heaven. Shall he thunder upon them, the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Some prophecy right there. Of the coming king. Elkanah went to Ramah, to the house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. These were priests in the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. Phinehas and his brother, sons of Belial. The Bible says those are worthless, dark individuals. You'll see here how dark very soon. Remember, the land, God's tabernacle is in Shiloh. but the rest of the land worships other gods. They do as they seems good in their own sight. They only remember God when there's a major problem. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came. While the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. That is not what Moses said to do.
No.
Moses said you give to God first.
Yes. And what's left over, you guys get.
Of certain things, what's right. left over.
Right. Other things have to be burnt to a crisp.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, they got guys, and the priests took the whole animal. They laid their hands on it, that took the sins from the family to the animal, and then it was sacrificed, and the priests cut it up. These guys, we ain't cutting up that stuff no more.
Throw them in a stew pot.
You go ahead and you butcher it over there. You bring it in a 5-gallon bucket. I got this hook here that brother came up with.
The holy hook.
Yeah, the holy hook with three. It's got three hooks on it. We jam it down in there and pump it up and down a couple times. And hey, if we come out with everything, it's ours.
That's on us, yeah.
Come out with just a couple things. Maybe we stick it back in again. Brought up the priest, took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. He will not have boiled flesh. So they become very greedy. And all of the fat was to be given unto God and burnt for a sweet savor. That's what makes the meat smell so good. Plus, it's not healthy for you. God had two reasons for doing that. A sweet savor unto himself and the health of the individual that would be eating it. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. So if anyone argued and said, that's not how this is supposed to be done, God says to do it like this. He said, you know what, pal? Give it to me now, or you're going to regret it.
Yeah. Now you don't get anything.
Yeah, and the boys would take you out behind the tabernacle and deal with you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like that very much, would you?
Whack you with a holy salve.
Yeah. Wherefore the sin of young men was very great before the Lord, for men had hoard the offering of the Lord. Had become an abomination to God because they didn't follow the statutes he had set up. Once upon a time, remember Aaron's sons, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't follow the procedure exactly right.
Right, they were still doing it. They just stepped out of sync or out of sequence.
Burned to a crisp right on the spot.
Yes, sir.
These people have left God. God has moved away from them. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband and offered the yearly sacrifice. So Hannah's still coming up, seeing Samuel once a year. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Look at the blessings that she got because she kept her vow unto God.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.